You know, seeking the Lord can be a difficult thing. I would dare say that many of us have sought out God in our daily lives. And so I would like to ask you a question this morning. What does God, or what do you get from seeking God? How does your life reflect your walking after, seeking after, desiring after God each and every day? You know, many times we hear that we should have a relationship with God, that we ought to seek after God, that we ought to desire God. But a lot of times when we walk through those steps, those things that we feel are how we ought to get to that place, we don't always see an end result of that. And because of that, we get discouraged and we get disheartened. And so I want to encourage you this morning in your walk with God, in your relationship with God, in your seeking God, I want to encourage you with that. And so to do that this morning, we're going to look at a king from the Jewish people. We're going to look at a king, the king of Judah, in 2 Chronicles chapter 31. And 32. And so if you have your Bibles, I ask that you'll turn with me to 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament. Turn to 2 Chronicles as we study about King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah was a king that sought after God. He was a young man who became king when he was about 25 years old, and he reigned for about 30 years. And when he took over as king in Judah, the people of Judah were very much in disarray. They had been under the kingship of King Asa, and King Asa was a very ungodly king. He had erected all kinds of temples. He had erected all kinds of idols in all kinds of high places. And you know what's interesting is that Asa was Hezekiah's father. And yet Hezekiah did not follow in the footsteps of his father. Instead, Hezekiah turned and followed in the steps of King David, his great-great-grandfather. He followed in the steps of God. He followed after the things in the heart of God. When we walk with God, we will see God's hand. And you know, it is difficult from time to time to see that because things don't always happen in our time. Moses wrote in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29, "But from there you will search for the Lord your God, and you will find Him when you search for Him with all your heart and all your soul." We're very familiar with that phrase, all your heart and all your soul. We understand that Jesus said that. We understand that those are in the Ten Commandments, that we need to search after and seek after God with all our heart and all our soul. And so a question that I would ask you this morning is, are you searching after God with all your heart and with all your soul? Are you seeking out God, and is He number one in your life? Is He the main goal, the main thing that you're after each and every day? Or are you after other things? Are you searching after other things? Well, Hezekiah was a man who searched after God's own heart. And I want you to get a picture of Hezekiah as he searched, as he sought after God, as he wanted to become a king that represented a God that was the Almighty God, the Yahweh God, the God of the Israelites, the God of the Jews, of the people in the kingdom of Judah, that God that had done so many great and mighty things, but yet the people had walked away from Him. You know, it's interesting that in our life, as we go through life, we have a mentality that God is all we need and God is who we should be after. But in reality, many of us don't actually seek out God. Many of us don't walk down that path that God has asked us to walk down. Many times we do a few little steps or many times we just say some things. But in reality, our walk is not a walk that is in a relationship with God. We call that living in the flesh. Paul wrote about that many times in the New Testament. Many of the other authors wrote about our walk and our talk and our action. When people see you, do they see Jesus Christ in your life, or do they see something else? King Hezekiah was a man who sought after God's own heart. King Hezekiah is in a couple places in the Old Testament. He's in 2 Kings. And we find this in 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 4 through 7. It says, "Now it came to pass in the third year, the Hosea son of Eliza, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Asa, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 20 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abib, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed all the high places, and he broke the images, and he cast down the groves, and he broke the hot pieces, the brazen serpent that Moses had made, because the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it an anathema. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from the following of him. He kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. He smote the Philistines even unto Gaza and the borders thereof for the tower of the watchmen to the fenced city." Our great God and Father, now as we come before you in your word, as we study about King Hezekiah, Lord, that may we take encouragement and be strengthened by King Hezekiah, who grew up in a not so godly home. He had a very ungodly father, and yet, Lord, from his mother and his grandfather, he saw something about you that he desired to have, and he searched after you. And when he became the king of Judah, Lord, you blessed him, not because he was a great and mighty man, but because he was a godly man, one who sought after you. And Lord, may we today, as we come before you, may we be a people that seeks after you. May we be a people that come after you with a godly heart and a godly mind. And may we search out you and not stop until we find you. And then will you speak to us? And will you encourage us and strengthen us? Give us wisdom in all that we say and do, that you'll bring glory and honor to you and to you alone. In your great precious name, amen. In 2 Chronicles here, we find that King Hezekiah is still searching out God. He is still trying to do all of the things that God has led him to do. And as we just read in 2 Kings chapter 18, we find that Hezekiah, when he takes over, Israel is in total disarray. There's famine in the land, and there's poverty in the land, and they're worshiping idols. They were even, as we read here, they were even worshiping the brazen serpent in which Moses had set on the staff. And you would have to go all the way back to Exodus and to find out about that story, about the serpent that Moses put up, and how that when the people were bitten by the serpent because they were sinful, if they would look on that, they'd be saved. And in years later, hundreds of years later, after Moses had died in the children of Israel had conquered the promised land and had gone in, and there was king after king after king. Here comes King Hezekiah, and the children of Israel are still worshiping this servant, and it was never intended to be worshiped. They had placed things into their life that had no business being in their life. And Hezekiah comes along, and in the strength and the might of the king, in the face of all of the people, says, "We will no longer stand for that." And he tore down the high places. And he broke up the graven images, and he destroyed that serpent that they were worshiping of Moses. And when we come to 2 Chronicles chapter 31 and 32, we find that King Hezekiah has another issue going on in life, and that is worshiping God, and he wants to institute worship back into its proper place. And I want you, as we look at this passage of Scripture and as we go through this and we look at how we can be like Hezekiah, how we can search after God and seek after God each and every day, and how God can prosper us in that earnest seeking of Him, I want you to understand something. In order for us to be able to search for God, we must have proper worship of God. You must put God in the proper place. If other things are in the place of God, then you can't have the relationship that God wants for you to have. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, Pastor, what kind of things can be put in place of God? You figure it out. If you say that this is more important than God, then there you go. And it could be a multitude of things. It could be job, it could be family, it could be work, it could be travel, it could be whatever that you say is more important than God, then you're not putting God in His proper place. See, God needs to be number one in our life. It doesn't mean that we forsake our family. It doesn't mean we forsake our friends. It doesn't mean that you stop working. It doesn't mean any of those things. But yet we have to have everything in its proper place. It has to be in a proper perspective. King Hezekiah had that. His place and his perspective about God was that God needed to be number one, not only in his life, but in the nation's life. That God needed to be number one if he was going to prosper. That God needed to be number one in his life if he was going to be successful in whatever God asked him to do. And so if you want to seek God, and if you want to desire God, then the first thing you must do is you must put God in a proper place. The second thing that you must do if you want to seek God is you must tear down those high places. You must break down those images, those things that you have set up in the place of God. And you know what's funny is sometimes that could be church. Sometimes that could be religiousness. See, the people were doing very religious things, weren't they? They were worshiping in high places. They were worshiping the serpent of Moses. They were doing all of these things, but it was the wrong kind of worship. It was the wrong kind of God. They were looking to the wrong places for service. And so we must break down those things, and we have to look in our life and ask God, what is it in my life that I must break down? What barrier must I tear down and destroy? What thing is getting in the way of me worshiping and serving you to the fullest extent that you want me to do? Something in our life is in the way. And that's a question that you have to ask yourself. It's not an answer that I can just say, hey, here's your problem. But I know someone that can tell you what that issue is in your life, and his name is Jesus Christ. And he can speak to your life, but you have to come to him and you have to have a relationship with him. And so for order for you to seek God, not only must you break down those barriers and those situations, but you must have a relationship with God. And that relationship has got to be more than just a Sunday morning. The relationship's got to be more than I opened my Bible for 2 minutes this morning and I read a verse. Your relationship has got to be more than I said a prayer over my meal and so I prayed to the Heavenly Father. The relationship has got to be a deep-rooted love relationship with Him. One where you desire to seek Him earnestly each and every day. Moses said, and talked about this relationship several times. And when Moses was getting ready to see the promised land and to depart from this earth, he preached 3 messages in the book of Deuteronomy. And he said this in these messages as he preached in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And later on in Deuteronomy 11:1, he said, therefore, love the Lord your God always, keep his mandates and his statutes, ordinances, and commands. In 11:13, in that same message, he said, if you carefully obey my commandments that I give you this day to love the Lord your God and to worship him with all your heart and all your soul. And he continued later on in verse 22, for if you carefully observe every one of these commandments that I give you to follow, to love the Lord your God, walk in all his ways, remain faithful to him. And that may sound very familiar to you, and it ought to, because Jesus said in Mark chapter 12, verse 30, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Listen to those words. God covered, Jesus Christ covered every aspect of our life. Love the Lord your God with all your mind, your thinking, your understanding, with all your heart, your whole being, with all your strength in everything you do. That you need to do it all for the strength and the power of God. Hezekiah, we find in in 2 Chronicles chapter 31, in verses 20 and 21, we find this about Hezekiah. That he had a relationship that reflected what Moses had to say. He had a relationship, even though he did not know Jesus Christ at the time, the same kind of relationship that Jesus spoke about. Listen to the words in 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verse 20. And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and trust before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in service of the house of God, and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, and he did it with all his heart, and he prospered. Now notice here that when Hezekiah, when he was seeking God, he started in the house of the Lord. Seeking God has got to start someplace. It does not mean that you need to be in church to seek God to begin with, but you must come into the house of Almighty God to seek him. Where does God reside? He resides in heaven. How do we come into his presence? We come into his presence by the blood of Jesus Christ. We come into his presence because the Bible tells us that Jesus has become our advocate with the Father. He gives us the strength and the wisdom that we need so that we can come to the Father and know him and to have him in our will and our life. We need to develop a relationship with God. A relationship that allows us to stand in the face of our enemy. That we'll see in just a moment. Hezekiah was a man who started and began his service in the house of the Lord, and then he meditated. He stayed in the law and the commandments as he sought God. Listen, I want to tell you something. This is very simple. You've heard me say it 100 times, but I'm going to say it 101. You cannot have a relationship and seek God if you refuse to get into his word. It can't happen. You can't just come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, or Thursday night, or whenever church is open. You can't just come into a Bible study and think that's all you need to have a relationship with God. If you believe that's all you need to have a relationship with God, then those of you that have friends or loved ones or are married, you try having that kind of relationship with your spouse. Only talk to them once a week. And I'll guarantee you one thing, you do that, your relationship will go straight down. You'll have no relationship within a month. You'll have no relationship. You'll be fighting constantly. You'll be in turmoil all the time. Why? Because you've not communicated. You've not come. You've not studied. You've not fellowshiped with one another. And the same thing happens in our relationship with God. If we neglect God, we neglect the relationship, then we are not seeking after God. If we want to seek after God, we must tear down and destroy those images, those high things, those high places. We must develop a relationship with him, and we must walk in his ways. We must walk in his ways. Psalms 119 is a great passage of scripture, 176 verses. And out of the 176 verses, only 3 times in those 176 verses does not the author, most likely David, not say something about being in God's Word and their relationship with God. And one of my favorite parts out of that whole passage of Scripture is Psalms 119, 105 through 112. And I want to read that to you this morning. Because it talks about walking in His ways and how we need to stay in His ways. Listen to these words. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Many of us as young children had memorized that verse, Psalms 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It is how we need to walk and move forward for God. It's where we need to go. If we want to know the path that God wants us to go down, we've got to be in His Word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It shows where my feet are standing and it shows where I'll be headed. I remember years ago when we lived in Louisiana, my next door neighbor, who's almost like a brother to me, I've known him for almost 30 years now. We've done all kinds of crazy things together. We used to go fishing together, if you could call it that. At least we went out in a boat with some fishing poles and we said we were fishing. We would just get out there and mess around and goof off, but we'd had a good time on the water. We would go hunting together. We never killed anything. At least I never killed anything. He was the hunter. I was just the faker. And I remember one time we were out hunting, and we were walking back through the woods. We were going to stay down there the whole day and the next day, and so we had a place where we were camping, and we're walking back through the woods, and we had to cross across this ravine. And there was a tree that had fallen across this ravine, and so we were walking across the ravine, and his brother-in-law says to him, as we get to the other side, did you guys see the cottonmouth right there? Now, if you don't know what a cottonmouth is, it's a snake, a poisonous snake. And they're all over in Louisiana. And of course, we're on the other side of the ravine, and we're like, no, we didn't see that snake. Where was that snake? And he said it was right here by the log when you first stepped on this log. It was right there. No, we didn't see it. We were already on the other side. We were happy. And so we went and we did our thing, and we decided we were going to go back out late that evening. And so it's getting a little dark out there, and so we've got a flashlight. You ever watch these war movies where they're in file line behind each other, you know, one behind the other? Well, you know, we know there's a snake out here in the woods now. This is how we're walking through the woods with a flashlight. Shine at our feet and shine down our path. Shine at the feet and shine on the path. Because we're afraid of that cottonmouth that's out there. The Word of God is like that. Sin is everywhere. It's all out there. It's on the path. And if we don't have the Word of God to shine at our feet and to shine on the path, we're going to fall into a trap. And we're going to fall into sin. And the psalmist says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." By the way, we ran up on that snake. We shot him full of holes. Because we shined the light onto the path. When the light is shined onto the path, you can avert the danger that's there. But you can't do it if you're not going to walk in the ways of God, if you're not going to be in His Word. The psalmist goes on to say here in 106, "I have sworn and I will perform it, and I will keep Thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O God, according to Thy Word. Accept, I beseech Thee, the freewill offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me Thy judgments. My soul is continuously in Thy hand, yet do I forget Thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from Thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicings of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform Thy statutes always, even unto the end." We must walk in the ways of God. If we want to seek God, we must tear down the high places. We must build a relationship, and we have to walk in the ways of God. And then we have to serve Him and Him alone. Listen, you can't serve other stuff. You can't serve other gods. You can't say, well, you know, I'm going to go to the Christian church today and worship the Almighty God of heaven, and tomorrow I'm going to go worship something else. Today I'm going to follow God here, but tomorrow I'm not going to follow God. We must serve God and God alone. Hezekiah was a king who served God and God alone. Listen to that verse again in verse 21. "And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God. And he did it with all his heart and he prospered." You see, Hezekiah sought God in every aspect so that he could serve God in a great and mighty way. And you say, well, that's great, Pastor. I appreciate that. I appreciate that we ought to be seeking God and building a relationship with God. But you know, when I do that, it seems like all kinds of things happen in my life. It seems like everything falls apart. And if I kind of leave God alone a little bit, everything seems to work a little better. Well, I'm here to tell you that trouble is going to come, and it did for Hezekiah. When we seek God, we have to continue to seek God even in the face of trouble. You know, it seems like life gets easier when you don't seek God, but let me say this to you. Let me put this thought out there for you. Your life is only seems like it's getting easier. It only seems like it's better. But when we truly seek God, a troubled life is a good life. You say, well, that doesn't make any sense. The world says that a troubled life is a terrible life. Let me tell you what I'm saying. That when we seek God, a troubled life means that the devil doesn't like what we're doing. And so he's infiltrating, he's influencing, he's trying to convince us not to serve God, but yet God is saying, I am here and I'm your strength and I'm your guidance. Hezekiah had an issue as he began to serve God, as he was following and worshiping God. The king of Assyria said, that's enough of that. The king of Assyria approached into the land of Judah, unto the city of Jerusalem that Hezekiah had rebuilt and strengthened. And the king of Syria came upon him and came upon the people to conquer him. And you got to understand something. The king of Syria was a powerful king. The king of Syria had conquered many nations, and he believed, the king of Syria believed, that because he was a conquering many nations, that his God was number one. But he had never run up against the God of the Israelites. He had never run up against God, Hezekiah's God.
He had never run up against that God that was stronger and mightier than all others. Because see, at that moment, the king of Assyria had never actually run up against any gods. He just was bigger and stronger and more powerful than everyone else. And he assumed that his God was great. And we find in chapter 32 the whole story of the Assyrian king as he comes before Hezekiah and the people are afraid. And we find that when you have God in your life and when you seek God and you have a relationship with God, you have the proper attitude when troubles arise. Look what happens here in chapter 32, if you're still there in Chronicles. Verse 7, 2 Chronicles 32, verse 7. Hezekiah says to the people as the Assyrian army is approaching, as they're coming to the city of David, as they're coming over the whole coast, and Hezekiah's made all the preparations, he says this in verse 7, "Be strong and courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude is with him, for there be more with us than with him." You can be attacked by a million people, but the God that we serve is greater and mightier and more capable than all of them. And that's what Hezekiah is telling the people. Look, it may look like they've got a whole multitude out here, but the God we serve is greater and mightier. He is more capable, and therefore we have more with us than there is with him. Hezekiah is not talking about the physical army in Judah. He's talking about God being on his side. And when God is on your side, there isn't anything that you can't do. Amen? When God is on your side, there isn't anything that you can't do. That's what Hezekiah is saying. Look what he says here in verse 8. "For with him is an arm of flesh." The king of Assyria, he said, he's just a fleshly guy and he's only got what he's got right there. "But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the word of Hezekiah, king of Judah. When trouble arises in your life, and trouble will arise in your life, when situations happen in your life that you don't know how to deal with, how do you approach that? When you're a leader of a group of people and the group of people are having trouble of being focused and they're afraid of the things that are going on, how do you encourage them? Are you like Hezekiah who speaks words of encouragement saying, "Hey, our God is greater than the God that he serves. Our God is more powerful and therefore we have more standing with us than is standing with them." See, it's that power, it's that might, it's that strength and that encouragement that we take from God. How do we take that with God? Because we have broken down the high places. Because we have a relationship. Because we walk in His way. See, Hezekiah didn't just say these words on a flippant pass. Hezekiah said these words because he was walking with God and he was serving with God. Notice that we find this situation taking place with the king of Assyria right after the passage of Scripture we just read in chapter 31, verse 21. That he sought after God with all of his heart. And he encouraged the people to stand strong because trouble will come. And when trouble comes in your life, you need to be an encourager. You need to encourage people. You know, I know people that they think that their whole goal in life is to just tear people down. I mean, it doesn't matter what's going on. If you come in and you say, "Boy, it's so sunny outside, it's a beautiful day," they're like, "Well, yeah, but you know, it rained yesterday. Well, you know, I had a birthday and it was fun and we had a lot of time, we had a lot of good time and da da da. Yeah, but you ate too much cake and you got fatter." See, there's people that are always trying to be discouragers. And we as Christians must be encouragers. We must encourage people to walk in the paths of God. We must encourage people to seek after God. We must encourage people to look to God and to come into His presence. We have to be encouragers. And you know what? The only way we can be encouragers is to be encouraged ourselves. Hezekiah could have never stood before the people as the king and said, "Take courage, God is on our side," if he didn't believe that himself. And many times as Christians, as believers, we don't really believe that God is on our side. We have a real hard time with that. "Well, you know, I prayed yesterday and God didn't answer my prayer." Why don't you say to yourself, well, maybe it wasn't the right time, situation or circumstance. See, we always expect that God will answer the prayer instantly. We need to be encouragers in time of trouble. We need to come to God in prayer. You know, when, and we're not going to read through this whole passage, I would encourage you to read through 2 Chronicles chapter 32 to get the full scope of what's going on. But let's just paraphrase it like this for you. The king of Assyria sent people to discourage the children of Israel, to discourage those in Jerusalem, to say, you know, you're staying here and you're hanging out waiting for your God to save you, but let us tell you, our God is greater, because look at all of what we've already done. Look at how great we have become, and look at how powerful we are. We have this huge army, and you're just this little tiny people in this city, and your king has confused you and convinced you that somehow you can defeat us, but in reality, you have no strength, no power, no capability. We are it. Our God has defeated all these gods, and your God is a useless God. That's what the king's messengers of Assyria were saying to the Jewish people. And they were afraid, and they continued this onslaught of how bad they are and how bad their God is. And we come over here to verse 18 in chapter 32, and it says, they cried with a loud voice in Jewish speech. This is the adversaries of the kings of Assyria. They weren't just speaking in their language, but they're speaking in Hebrew, in the Jewish language, unto the people of Jerusalem that were on the wall, to affray them or frighten them, to trouble them, that they could take the city. They wanted them to be scared. See, one of the tactics was that you would scare the enemy, and maybe they would just do something dumb, like open the doors, and you could just run right in and get them. This kind of reminds me a little bit, although it's not the same tactics, but think about the Israelites when they first crossed the Jordan River to the city of Jericho. Do you ever wonder why God had them walk around the city once every day and then seven times on the seventh day and blow the trumpets and shout and the walls? You ever wonder about that? That's intimidation. I mean, here you got a city that's great and mighty, and the walls are thick, and some believe that you could race two chariots around the width of the walls. We know they were wide enough to house homes in it. And yet here's the children of Israel. They didn't have a forward assault. They didn't bombard the place with cannons and all those things. They just got out and walked around it. If you're the people in Jericho, you know what you're thinking? What in the world is going on? And then on day two, you got another thought going in your head. What? And by day seven, they're walking around seven times, and you know what? You're like, this just doesn't make no sense. See, they haven't attacked you personally, but they have put fear in your heart just by doing that. God wanted those people in Jericho to recognize the power of who God was, and He put the fear of God in their hearts before the Israelites ever even made one sound. They were already defeated before the walls fell down. They just didn't know it. The king of Assyria is trying to do the same kind of thing. He's putting the fear, but he's using words. He's putting the fear into the people. And the people were slightly afraid. And it said in verse 19, and they spake against the God of Jerusalem, as against the gods of the people of the earth that were the works of the hands of man. And all the people ran afraid and ran away. I love this next verse, because that isn't what happened at all. It says that King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah cried out to God. Look, when you're in a face of trouble and you've got a situation going on in your life, where do you go? What do you turn to? A lot of people today in the world turn to drugs and alcohol and to sex and all of those things. They think somehow that fixes all their problems. They turn to relationships, they turn to work, they turn to family, they turn to all these things. Listen, there's only one thing that can fix all your problems, and that's Jesus Christ. And as believers, we already have a connection with Him. We must come to Him in prayer. And King Hezekiah and Isaiah prayed, they cried out to God. I could have picked several passages of Scripture, but I just want to read you two from the Psalms. Is David gives us an indication of how we ought to come to God. In Psalms chapter 4, verse 1, it says, answer me when I call, God, who vindicates me. You freed me from my afflictions, by be gracious to me and hear my prayer. God had freed David, and David was reminding God, answer me, listen to me, he says. In Psalms 5, 1 through 3, it says, "Listen to my words, Lord, consider my sayings. Pay attention to the sound of my cry, my King, my God, for I pray to you. At daybreak, Lord, you hear my voice. At daybreak, I plead my case to you and watch expectantly." We shouldn't just come before God and, you know, well, God, you know, we need to come to God in an earnest fashion. And so when trouble comes, you need to be an encourager. Sometimes you have to encourage yourself. Sometimes that trouble only affects you. And you can be encouraged by getting into the Word of God, as Hezekiah was a godly king who followed God. And when trouble arose, he came to God in prayer. And when trouble arises in our life, not only should we be an encourager, but we should pray and stand in the counsel of God. And let me tell you, this story ends on a good note. This event ends on a great note. In verses 21 through 23, we find that God sends an angel and destroys the Assyrian army. That the Israelites never had to raise a finger, that God defended His people. And the king of Assyria, when he returned to his land, he was so disgraced that he was killed when he returned. He thought he had all the power, all the might, and all the fame. But yet, in reality, God is the one that has all the power, all the might, and all the fame. And so for us to seek God, we must destroy those high places. We must build a relationship with Him, and we must walk in His paths. And then when trouble comes, because I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to be one of these guys that tell you, if you do all those things, you'll never have any problems. No, the Bible says just the opposite. When you seek God, trouble will come. So what do you do when trouble comes? You become an encourager for yourself and for others. You seek God in prayer, and then you realize that God's glory will always prevail. It will always prevail. You may not see it. You may not understand it, but you need to understand something. God fights for you. God will always win. And He will always be glorified. The question is, will we seek God every day? Will we come into His presence? Will we come and understand who He is? Will we build that relationship with Him? Will we encourage one another in our troubles? I just put this question out there for you. You don't need to raise your hands, but just let me ask you this. How many of you have troubles? And for those of you that have troubles, which is probably everybody in this room, have you sought God for guidance to deal with that? Or are you trying to deal with it on your own? I want to encourage you this morning that you need to seek God to deal with that trouble. You need to search out God. Cry out to God. Understand that God's glory will always win. Will you be like Hezekiah, who even though he grew up in what we would consider today an ungodly home, yet he still searched and sought out God. And in the end, the Bible says that God prospered him. He gave him a great victory over a mighty king. And Hezekiah didn't even have to lift a finger. Why? Because he had a relationship with God who heard his cry and answered his call. God's waiting for you to call. Will you call Him today? He's waiting to answer that call and to speak to you. Will you call Him today? Will you search and seek for God today? Our great God and Father, we thank You for this time that You've given to us. And Lord, we thank You that You are our great and awesome God. And Lord, even though we do have issues in our life and circumstances, and we probably fail You more than we want to recognize, You are still a great and awesome and mighty God. And it's not the failures that is detrimental, but it's how we deal with that. Do we come back and seek You? I'm so reminded of the story of King David and all of the wickedness that he did with Bathsheba and killing her husband and all of those things and the issues that came into his life. And yet, even after his son died, what he did is he stood up and he cleaned himself up and he got himself back into place and he came back and he worshiped You and he said, "I have sinned."
and you cleansed his heart, and you now say in your word that he's the apple of your eye, that when kings are compared to how godly they are, they're compared to David. And we say, how can that be because of how wicked he was? But yet when we look, we can understand how great and mighty your grace and mercy is. And so, Lord, no matter how bad we may seem, no matter how wicked we may be, you always look and say, here's my mercy. Here's my grace. Here's my son shed blood, and I've cleansed your heart. And so I don't see those. Your penalty, your sin has been paid. I don't see that. I would desire a relationship with you. Why are you hiding behind something I don't see? Oh God, may we today break down those high places. Tear down those things that are getting in the way of serving you. And may we surrender everything to you and seek you and search you and really know you. And Lord, as we walk through life, as the things arise, may we be encouraged by your word. And may we encourage others at the same time. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise and glory in your great and precious and holy name. Amen. Please stand as we sing 275. Maybe you got something going on in your life this morning and you just haven't been dealing with it and you need to deal with it this morning. I want to encourage you to come and get on your knees before God and seek Him out. Search God out. Say to God, what is it in my life that I need to deal with? Maybe God's been speaking to you about coming to know Him and you haven't done that yet. And we want to encourage you to come and say, I want to know Jesus Christ. Maybe He's told you to do something else and you've just not done it yet. Today be the day to do that. God is speaking to you. Search Him. Find Him. Know Him. You come.